Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Well, there's that. Goodbye, Brian Daboll. Another week, another coach who was fired. And this one of the more predictable ones probably of the entire cycle. Ever since they allowed 33 fourth quarter points to the Denver Broncos and dropped that game, probably writing on the wall. The New York Giants, John Mara, announced that Brian Daboll is out as head coach of the New York Giants. Jackson Dart evaluated for his fourth concussion since he has started the season. Evaluated, not has four concussions, evaluated. But they lost last night to the Bears in tremendous fashion once again. They were up early in the game, and it just sort of turned into, after 17-7 and 20-10, Bears started rumbling back a little bit. Jackson Dart then leaves the game, and then Russell Wilson comes in, and then everything falls, basically crumbles in everybody's face. But that's what happened with the Giants. Brian Daboll out. Joe Shane, the general manager of the Giants, John Mara said that he is for now staying. We'll get into that and whether we think that it's just a placeholder or if there actually is some unbeknownst confidence that they have in the general manager comparatively. Nonetheless, it's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3 with Colin Russo and Mike Rizzo. Christian Cat back behind the glass, back at full strength. Christian just coming back from Turkey for about a week. And Mike and I were bouncing around last week, and we're back. And Brian Daboll out. Right move, right timing, or is this should we have done this about 10 weeks ago?
So two things. You maybe should have done it before the season if you're going to fire a midseason. Second thing, they did this to protect Dart. That's the big thing for me. They did this to protect Dart. Why would you fire a midseason when the season's already over? Like, the Giants are competing for the playoffs. They got two wins on the year. Obviously, no one's technically mathematically eliminated from anything yet, but let's be honest with ourselves. The Giants are eliminated from playoff contention.
And you got to give them some, they've played competitively in a certain number of games.
They can't win close games.
Cannot
win the close games, but I go to the Giants being a young team. I think that's what happens with a young team. You got to learn how to win these close games. But the issue is, it seems like it's every single week they're in one of these games. And I think the owner got upset with it, and I think the owner, you mentioned Dart in the fourth concussion. I mean, geez, Kyle. I think the fourth time the kid went over to the tent, he goes, enough is enough. So I think they fired him midseason to protect the quarterback. I'm actually interested to see if Dart is able to return and whatnot and continue to start games, how much they're going to run him. You know, what did he break the rushing touchdown record for rookies? So, like, you know, Daboll was... I don't want to say using him. That's probably the wrong word. But we said that this was his last go of it with Jackson Dart. That was his last saving grace to be the Giants head coach for the future. So I think ultimately they said enough is enough. You are putting our rookie quarterback at risk. We're done with you. We want you out. We don't want Dart running as much. We want to protect our future asset and future franchise quarterback. That's the only reason I think he got let go, because the season's over. Like, what, you're going to put in a placeholder for the next 7 weeks? Like, it makes no sense to fire him at this point unless it was Jackson Dart related, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, my thought process is that you got to answer for somebody's got to answer for something, and you're going to have to answer for a crime, and that's exactly what they're doing here. So, all right, well, the Giants, I mean, that 49er game last week was a mess. I mean, they had the game dead to rights and blew it against the Bears. I know it was a road game. And then to your point, Jackson Dart getting hurt again. I'm not saying it's preventable, but it kind of is preventable. I mean, he has 57 carries on the season. He didn't play the first two games. Mm-hmm. He's had, 7, 8, 10 rushes, and he scored a rushing touchdown basically every single game he's played in. But outside of that, it's been evaluated for four concussions. I mean, geez, you can't just do this. And whether that means Brian Daboll was playing a little too loose with him, because he's thinking about his job, not thinking about the longevity surrounding Jackson Dart. Maybe that's part of it. But somebody's going to have to answer for a crime eventually. It's exactly what happened. And that's exactly where I sit today, is that, all right, well, first scapegoat is out. You got to hope. Now, the Giant fan has to think about it like this. You can't make this a Jacksonville Jaguar situation from a couple years ago where you just fire the coach to keep the hot seat general manager around. That's what bad franchises do. If you're going to get rid of something that drastic midseason, you're getting rid of all. You're getting rid of all of it. The other guy, somebody needs to have the ship at least above water until the end of the year. You need to get a new general manager too. You have to do both.
That's the one that doesn't make sense to me is why he's still in a job. If you're going to, they're attached to the hip. Look, they've been attached to the hip since they gave Daniel Jones that contract, in my opinion.
And they came in together. So yep. The one thing I'll say, and the one thing that on top of this is he was talking about how Mara also said that he's going to not lead the next firing or the finding of the next coach. It's going to be Joe Shane. Mm-hmm. So he said he's playing. I don't know if he's playing media, mm-hmm. but he did come out and say, he's like, I'm impressed with the young talent that we have. I have sort of confidence it hasn't came out as well as we'd like. Here, I'll read you the quote from John Mara. Here's what he said. Quote, we feel Joe Shane is in the general manager who's sticking around even after Brian Daboll out. John Mara said, we feel that like Joe has assembled a good young nucleus of talent and we look forward to its development. Unfortunately, the results over the past 3 years have not been what any of us want. We take full responsibility for those results and look forward to the kind of success our fans expect. We take full responsibility, yet the guy who should be responsible is still going to be allowed to do the things that he did wrong in the first place.
The saving grace are the young players that have, from the looks of it, panned out. We got a long way to go, Kyle. But Malik Nabers looks good. Jackson Dart looks the part. You know, they drafted a Penn State edge rusher, too. I mean, Thibodeau. Like, there are good young pieces on this team. If you're a New York Giant fan, how can't you? And Cam Scadaboo. I know he had the horrific injury. I hope he could bounce back from that. But if you're a Giant fan, you have a decent enough defense, we think. You got great edge rushers. You got what you think is a franchise quarterback, the receiver, and a running back. And they're fun to root for. They're fun players. They're fun guys. Like, I think the future is bright for the Giants, and maybe Brian Daboll was the issue there. I still think more or less that Daboll would have lasted the whole season if he wasn't putting the young kid in jeopardy. That's what I keep going back to. I don't think Daboll was ever coming back at the end of the year after losing all these close games, especially back-to-back-to-back weeks. It seems like every other week they're in a close game. But I think the breaking point was the kid going into the tent for the fourth time again. And Sheen's sticking around because of the young kids. I want to take the owner for face value. I do.
I'm not.
You're not?
I hope there's nothing to that. I hope that quote means absolutely nothing.
But isn't there good players on this team?
I hope at the end of the season, for the Giants fans' sake, that they're getting a new general manager.
Is it Chris Greer-esque?
Because here's,
Dolphin-esque. You mentioned the Jags.
They did the same thing. The Jags have done the same thing. The Bears have done it 100 times before. If the Giants have showed you absolutely nothing to tell you that anything involved with the construction or the high-ups, front office, coaching of this team should stick around. You think, oh, well, the young player's working out. Well, Malik Nabers is a first-round pick. You know, he's a good player. All right, great. Cam Scadaboo is a fourth-round running back. You're going to draft the running back in the fourth round anyway. Mm. I mean, what I do know is that the offensive line is not necessarily been steady or stable for the entirety of basically the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah, the quarterback worked out. That was a risk. He's pretty good. They're rushing him more than they're passing him, at least in key situations, but he's a competitor. You're worried about his health. And defensively, yeah, it's a fine defense. If we're under the impression that this car is worth, you know, 6, 7, 8 wins and the coach is the reason that it's at 2, I think we're dead wrong here. I think we're dancing around the fact that when you go to these coaching searches, if you still have that same general manager there, it's going to be harder to find that next guy.
And 11-33 record over 3 seasons, that's a fireable offense in itself.
It's going to have a harder time to find the next guy too, because you're not going to be a desirable position because you're going to be working underneath somebody who is sitting on hot coals. Mm. That's where I'd be nervous. And if you are the Jets are a nightmare, we know that. But if you're the Jags from last year, they flushed it all out. All right, new guy can bring in his guy. Of the general manager or whoever you want to go first. I think that if you're going to flush it, flush it. And you can't do one of the three. Quarterback, general manager, head coach. You can't always do one of the three. You can't, and especially you can't do one of the two managerial positions in the coach and the general manager. You can't do one of the both. If you're going to really flush it, unless you love your general manager and you know he's great, you can't do it. You know, Mickey Loomis has been with the Saints for 25 years. A little different. You know, Howie Rosen wants to get rid of Sirianni. No, nobody's going to care. But Joe Shane has not given us any sort of confidence that he should not only spearhead the next coaching search, but he should survive past this season.
The narrative was, oh, he got rid of Saquon Barkley. Barkley won a Super Bowl. But now because Dart kind of looks good, is that, oh, he can actually evaluate talent. Let's keep him around.
And you can't
So why the quarterback position, that's what it can do. If you're a GM or even, and I know Dable got the sack, but even a head coach and you make the quarterback look good, it goes a long way. It goes a long way with ownership, and it can go a long way with the fans. Now, Dable, too, Kyle, four double-digit blown leads heading into the final quarter of the game. That's insanity, too. I mean, geez, no one's expecting the Giants to compete for the Super Bowl or anything like that this year. And to be fair, across the street, the Jets are a similar mess. But this is a New York market. You can't keep getting away with things like that. I think it was a plethora of reasons why Dable was let go. But the mid-season thing is what we're kind of scratching our head at.
And I also don't think, weirdly enough, I'm okay with it being mid-season because that was the straw that broke the camel's back. It was probably the Denver game that was really like, oh my gosh, we can't keep doing this. But now you sit here and you're worrying about the health of the quarterback. And I agree with you. I think the fact that Dable, he overrushed, there is no world where you should rush your quarterback 10 times a game. I don't care how good he is at running the football. It is just not a sustainable business model. And people thought that would be a problem with Lamar Jackson. Sure, Lamar Jackson has been the one outlier because he's the most elusive player in the entire league. I mean, Josh Allen can do it because he's a freight train. This kid's neither. This kid has been in and out of the medical tent ever since he has come out under the bench to take over for Russell Wilson. That's been Jackson Dart. And he's played well when he's played, but he's been getting knocked around quite a bit. That is not what you want. It's not what you're looking for. I'm not saying this kid needs to be a pocket passer, but now you're worrying about him. And if we're going to, enter into the next coach and all of a sudden Jackson Dart's had two concussions in his first season playing quarterback, I mean, you got to be worried about his long-term stability on that front. If you're going to wash it, wash it. Mm-hmm. You can't keep one or the other, especially with a franchise as bad as the Giants. This is not like they put together a great roster and then it's been such malpractice by the coaching staff that this team should be better. Maybe there's an argument that they should have a couple more wins, a couple more crucial wins, and the coaching staff was a mess. But to sit here and say that this is some great team because of the good defensive line and the quarterback who's played pretty good? I mean, the team construction has its flaws. They've gotten hurt with the injury bug. If you're going to wash it, wash it. Mm-hmm. And they've already had so much bad PR.
Big time.
With the Hard Knocks offseason, it all started there.
I mean, Barkley.
Daniel Jones doesn't look great right now. And you can't even say, oh, well, Daniel Jones, they signed Daniel Jones and he's been, good for the Colts. That was Dave Gettleman's hire, who was the previous general manager. So keep that in mind. And Gettleman went to bat for Daniel Jones, saying this kid could be really good. And now he's the one who was the scapegoat in that situation when he probably shouldn't have been. So you got to think of it from that perspective as well. I think this is a fine move midseason, but this has to be the first of two dominoes.
And it shows you how important coaching is. You mentioned Daniel Jones. Shane Steichen, the former offensive coordinator for the Eagles, a quarterback, quote, guru. I know they dropped the ball with Richardson, but you put Daniel Jones into that offense, they're 8-2. And like I said, Brian Dable, 11-33 in the last three seasons. It's coaching. A lot of it is coaching. And I am surprised that the head of the snake is still there in Sheen.
Yeah, I don't know if you...
I am a little surprised.
That's when you don't do midseason. Because then it's just Armageddon. Then there's right. Nobody
But like the vote of confidence that Mara gave him, I understand why you're not buying it. What do you want him to say? Right. Like what is he going to say? No, yeah, this guy stinks.
If I'm a Giant fan, I am hoping that this is just some PR... Media.
You're going to let him make another draft and another free agency?
Get somebody off. Get him. We have your scapegoat. Chew on that for 8 weeks. And then we'll figure out what we're doing at the end of the year. And, all of a sudden, because who are you going to give credit to? Let's say Mike Kafka, who's the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants, comes in, they play better. Let's say they play better and they win, I don't know, three games the rest of the way. They finish with 5 wins. All right, then you think, all right, well, we got rid of Dable and it looked better. Is that a testament to the general manager and the roster construction, or is that a testament to the new coach?
Yep.
You're not giving the new coach the interim hire unless he's going 6-1, and you're not. And because of that's the one that's the big, that's the change, that's the variable. So you're not going to give Shane any credit if they are that much better post Brian Dable. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting here. Your decision needs to already be made, in my opinion.
And also put yourself in the young quarterback's shoes. You're already a head coach that you came in with is already gone. We've seen this happen. Well, I mean, look at Trevor Lawrence with the Jags.
He's going to have his second coach for the rest of the year. Right. So he's going to get used to Mike Kafka.
And for what I'm reading here, Colin, from Jeremy Fowler, is that Dable would meet with Jackson Dart regularly for hours. They'd talk about game plan. They'd talk about film. This was somebody that he became close with. So, like, you saw it a little bit with Baker, the turnover in Cleveland, the turnover, you know. I'm worried that Dart could fall under
the development. Yeah,
yeah. It's then even like Sam Darnold too. Like, and now, and I'm not saying Dart's going to turn into that. I hope for Giant fans' sake that the next head coach is the one that's going to be able to take this young man and the team to the promised land. But you hate to see that for a young quarterback in his first year already getting the sack, his head coach. And Cam Ward too. Even if you want to bring Cam Ward into the conversation, his coach got the sack as well.
Right. So, and I don't think the Titans are any sort of bookmark to follow because they've changed the general manager. Then they keep the general manager and the new coach. Then they get rid of the coach and they don't get rid of the general manager. Mm-hmm. Then they get, you know, it's one or the other. It's never both at the same time. My opinion, I'm not saying there's a right way and wrong way to flush it all out, but if I'm thinking about putting myself to be the most attractive job available, it is a matter of control. It's a matter of we could offer you the most in terms of you get to construct a front office and you get to construct a new coaching staff that are lined up in the same year.
And you're mentioning lined up in the same year. And kind of the big selling point is who's going to be able to coach Jackson Dart.
Right.
Like that's like when you are applying for the New York Giants, you're not only applying as the head coach of the entire team, but the biggest thing, how are you going to handle Dart?
Yeah.
Who are you going to, and if you're a defensive guy, who are you going to bring in to handle Dart?
And the good
news now, is, and now, Kyle, the GM drafted Dart, but the coach didn't. And then you'll have maybe the conversations of if Dart struggles with the new coach, it's like, oh, he's not my guy.
Definitely some
and then it's like, what the hell? So, like, that's why I like, to your point, having everyone on the same page. We drafted this guy. Me and the head coach drafted this guy, and this is our quarterback. Yeah. I worry for that a little
bit. It doesn't work out like that all the time. It's great when it lines itself
totally.
Up.
Totally.
But
that's what all the good teams do.
Now, the good news
right?
is you're not getting a new coach without understanding that you're probably on Jackson Dart's developmental table, right? Dart has got 3 or 4 more years as a first-round pick. Let's just call it like we see it. You got a 3-year trial run if you're a head coach, right? You got to show something in 3 years.
Unless you're terrible.
More likely than not, this is going to be your situation that you're going to have to make work. So I'm not saying that's not necessarily a negative because Dart has looked pretty good. So, you know, and a good luxury to have if they're on board with Dart is they're going to have a top pick in the draft and they're not going to need to get a quarterback. Mm. And they're not going to need to sacrifice it on one position. They could go get best player available or they could go get the best offensive lineman available and figure it out from there. So Giants from here, it hasn't looked great, but they've been competitive and that's with the terrible injury bug. Getting rid of Dable is probably the right move. There's too many blown situations. In my opinion, I think you have to be very nervous about how Jackson Dart is now, you know, every game, because he's rushing the ball all this time, that he's getting knocked around, hitting his head left and right, that's not a sustainable business
Would
model.
You even let him take it? I don't know where I fall on this.
Well,
that's why I'm
asking. They got the Packers next
Do you
week
want
too.
Him to take a snap for the rest of the season?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You
because you do have two. You do have
this
two veteran quarterbacks.
This is his offensive if coordinator we're talking about.
If his bell has been rung, you know, 4 times, Kyle.
He left the game.
Better make sure he's healthy.
I'd be surprised he plays next week. You're probably going to have a little bit of an offloading period. As long as he's healthy, he's going to play. But you got to have an understanding of protection. Dable is a little guns blazing of, I need to win the game more than I need to protect him. And part of winning the game long-term is protecting him. I think he had that sort of flipped. And now this is not a brand new coach. This is offensive coordinator you're bringing in. So it's not nothing crazy. It's not going to be complete flipped. But that's something I'd keep my eye on. I would. Because in this day and age, concussions are not the name of the game. And that will deter a quarterback's development like you wouldn't believe. So I'd be very nervous about that. Don't throw him into the fire. He's got to learn how to protect himself. It happened to Anthony Richardson, but he, you know, hurt his shoulder. I mean, it's a rarity for a guy to be able to survive the brunts of the hits that NFL guys give you and be able to play week in, week out.
And Allen is like he's the punisher, right? He's the one. He's like the unicorn that he's so big. He's going to make the defensive player hurt. And then Jackson, you can't touch him. You know what I mean? Like you can't touch it. It's like he's great with the juke moves and the spin moves. He's a magician at getting out of bounds and avoiding hits. That's why his style of run has been able to be sustainable. I compare it to Michael Vick. You know, Michael Vick, and at least for me, being 31 years old, he was the first elusive quarterback runner that I saw. Dart is like a mix of he's fast,
but he's savvy.
Also,
he's like, yeah.
He also wants to be a punisher. Like, he is going at, and listen, is some of this on Dart? Absolutely. I mean, we can sit here and blame Brian Daboll all we want. A conversation has to be had with this young man, too. Like, hey, you're the future of our franchise. You got to start protecting yourself a bit.
I would agree, 100%. So I think from here on out, you got to make sure that you survive to the end of the year. Don't get anything long-term. Just get Dart good experience. You're not, the season's a wash. I mean, the season probably was a wash when you went to Dart to begin with. It probably was a wash because of the roster you already had put together via the general manager. So from that perspective, you got to sit here and say, all right, get to the finish line healthy at that position. Because now you enter into the period where if a major injury happens, that's where it starts to trickle into next year. So you're going to hopefully look at next year thinking, all right, new general manager, hopefully, new coach, definitely. You're going to have the same quarterback. You're going to have talent offensively. You're going to have a good pick in the draft. And you're going to have a couple chess pieces here and there to put together a winning team or a pretty good team. I would sit here and say you're in a good track, but the second domino needs to fall. Mm-hmm. That general manager needs to be fired.
Speaking of him, I am interested in what Giant fan thinks. Like, is there enough young talent for him to stick around? Has he done enough post-trading Saquon Barkley and Barkley winning the Super Bowl to be around? If we're taking the owner for face value, he thinks so. We'll have to wait and see till the end of the season.
888-760-3776, number to get into the program. Should the Giants fire their general manager too? Should they keep him around? Was firing Brian Daboll mid-season the right move in hindsight? Let us know. 888-760-3776. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Cat. Download the ESPN South Florida app today where you can listen to Russo and Rizzo. You can listen to Theoretically Speaking. Listen to our extensive high school coverage from throughout Palm Beach County and Treasure Coast. It's all available on the app. Free to download on the App Store. You can listen from just about anywhere. And the best part is it's all accessible. It's easy. The interface works. And you can listen to Florida Panthers. You can listen to Kaiser Football, Inter Miami, English and Spanish broadcasts. You can find on the app. Download today the ESPN South Florida app. We got a whole NFL Sunday, some college football to get into. We got a packed program today up until 7 p.m. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Well, if you've been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they are the type that fight you. Listen, I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back no matter what, and they could get yours too. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. They are the best in the business. They are the best around. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat, Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. You got a great Monday Night Football game tonight, Eagles-Packers. For those who don't have YouTube TV, they will be able to enjoy the game. Looking forward to that. Mike Rizzo will have to follow along on the GameCast.
Correct.
The ESPN app.
Correct. I'm putting my foot down, Kyle. I'm not doing it. I'm putting my foot down. I am not doing it. You call me the big, and I am with the subscriptions. You call me the biggest sucker for subscriptions. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I am not spending more money. So I hope they figure something out soon.
It's a good game, too, tonight.
It really is. It stinks. Game. It stinks.
The last two nights, I don't have
YouTube TV, so I'm unaffected.
Well, yeah, you have parents' godforsaken Sling TV that you have for the free. All right? So don't get me going here.
Don't get mad about that.
I am.
Don't get mad about that.
Colin's acting like he's got some, you know. No, dude, you got the glitch in the system until they find out that you're abusing it.
Yeah.
Wait, I tried. I was a TV / streaming live TV free agent, and I tried Sling TV, and it was week one of the college football season, and I just didn't get Texas Ohio State. So I was like, all right, failure, delete, and went to YouTube TV.
The sad part is, Colin doesn't even have that. I can't even
describe. I don't have cable.
What, you like Optimum, and then you digitally?
I'm logged into Optimum on Fox and, ESPN. That's my two accesses via the cable subscription, thankfully, that mother and father.
What do you do for
have.
NBC?
NBC, I pay for Peacock. I have Peacock.
Okay. All right.
So I pay for Peacock, and then Netflix. I have Netflix. HBO Max, I have it.
Amazon.
So they're taking me for a ride too. So like I pay all these subscriptions on top of that. And
do you get the ESPN?
I am an ESPN Plus supporter. How I can't watch Northern Arizona basketball play Justice College Division III, JUCO. I can't watch that unless I have ESPN.
You are insane.
So I need to watch that.
Boys, my cousin Nicholas, who is in town over the weekend, I am the one who got him on YouTube TV, telling him it was
the
best product.
Now you're the bad guy.
Hear me out on this.
Now
he
you're
goes,
the bad guy.
It's not even that I'm the bad guy. He goes, Mike, I had to explain. He goes, I pay for the Sunday ticket. I pay for all this stuff, and I can't watch all the NFL games. Try explaining to me. I said, well, ESPN owns rights. Well, why can't I watch ESPN? Well, because YouTube and ESPN are in disputes, but I pay for the Sunday ticket. And it's like, you know, like the average person doesn't understand. And listen, he shouldn't understand. My cousin Nicky has his own business. He's too busy to worry about this crap. We're the ones that people rely on to let them know what's happening. And the best way I can put it is a ton of people with a ton of money or have a giant you-know-what match over the rights and the revenue to these doggone games. So they got to figure it out. They got to figure it out. It's hurting everybody. I was out and about on Saturday. I had the pleasure of calling the Kaiser game. So like it wasn't like I was locked into to the college football. We were able to watch a little bit of the Buckeye game when we were on the boat. But like I haven't watched an SEC matchup in college football, Christian, for 2 weeks. Mm. It's because ESPN and ABC, they have the rights. It's the only way you're watching an SEC team. Yeah, and I'm putting my, like I said, no, this isn't sucker Mike. That I'm not buying it, man. I'm not doing it. So figure it out.
Me and Colin had a conversation last hour about like the government shutdown and how it's hurting flights. It's like the same conversation. It's like, I am refusing to take a side. And I'm just going to be angry about it. Like,
right.
It's got to be figured out.
I saw a guy, to speak of the travel thing, I saw a video of a flight guy for Delta. I mean, he's a pilot. Flight guy. Pilot for Delta. pilot went on the intercom and basically said, hey, call your senator to tell them to figure out this government shutdown because it's costing Delta millions of dollars. Everybody's sitting there like, we don't care if Delta's losing billions of dollars. We care that the flight is not 7 hours delayed just coming up on a Monday. I mean, people
you're,
like to overthink.
You're the people that...
People overthink the dispute.
Exactly. The government and the airlines are the people that set up these monopolies. But now it's our fault, and we have to call...
Yes.
And we have to call our senator and complain. Stop it. No one cares. No one wants to hear your sad story.
We just want it to be easy. We just want life
Figure
to be easy.
Figure it out.
We just want life to be easy.
Figure it out.
Life needs to be easy.
Now, who the hell's coming on the Manning cast?
Disney
What's going
CEO
on tonight?
Guy, right?
Bob
CEO
Iger,
might be the wrong
the guy who runs the show.
Guy who can make me disappear, by the way. Guy who can make me disappear.
You just said Voldemort's name, dude.
But at the same time, I hope he's not just going to go on there and complain about YouTube TV. No one wants to hear that. No one wants. We want to hear positive steps that you are going to have to get us our product back.
Remember this happened with Fox right before actually Texas, Ohio State. This happened with YouTube TV, I believe, with Fox, and they figured it out the day before the game, I want to
say.
And I didn't speak up because I had Hulu Live TV. You know, I didn't fight for those
really
that were affected.
You really were a free agent. You went sling Hulu and YouTube TV?
I was Hulu Live TV for a long time, and then now that my girlfriend lives in a different household, YouTube TV allows us to dance around the geolocation to allow us to do it in both.
Spots, right?
Yeah.
All right.
And McAfee... Pat McAfee even said, he goes, thank God I forgot I was paying for Hulu as well as YouTube TV. Because apparently Hulu and ESPN, you're allowed to watch the ESPN products on Hulu. I don't know, guys.
Well, I believe, owns Hulu.
Am I going to switch a product for the 15th time?
What are you going to do
tonight? I'm not watching the game. I'm putting my foot down.
Go to a Duffy Sports Grill and watch
the game. I'm not watching the game. All right, we watch the Daniel Craig Bond movies and tell Colin how much I love him the next day again.
Condensed
I don't
game
know.
Day after on YouTube.
Anything, but yeah, I mean, dude, what I've been doing is
you gotta watch the game.
What's that NFL where on YouTube TV where you go back? You mentioned it to me. I forget what it's called.
The highlights?
Not the highlights, but no, like you could go back and watch.
Watch
I have
what happened in the game, but
yeah, you know they show you all videos. Quick.
No, you called it something. Remember what'd you watch
Condensed
after your
game.
Iron Man?
Oh,
I don't know what it's called, but I'll do that.
The NFL post Iron Man, I missed a whole day of football.
I know, but listen, I'm not.
I watched just all the highlights extended period of time over. Yeah, it took an hour and a half, but yeah.
I'm not doing it, guys. And yeah, you're right. I could go out and watch the game, but I don't know, man. It's frustrating. It's frustrating more than I feel like this is me as my right as a citizen. This is me protesting.
It is protesting. You know what?
It's my right as someone who spends
to watch football.
Christian, I spend hundreds of dollars.
Well, let's think what you need to watch the NFL. Ready? Let's go through
hundreds
this really quick.
Of dollars.
Let's go through this really quick. All right, so you need ESPN. All right, so that's number one. You need ESPN for the Monday Night Football games. Okay, you need a cable package in some capacity that has Fox and CBS. All right, those are two and three.
So or an antenna.
Or an antenna, something like that. That includes, and some, maybe you get lucky and you get something with all three. You know, Optimum, by the way. No plug, no names, please. Optimum has all three. And
you son of a gun.
NBC/Peacock. If you're like me and you don't have cable, NBC and Peacock is something you're going to have to invest in. That's four.
Amazon
Thursday Night Football. That's five. You're going to need five. All right, to watch the Christmas Day games, you're going to need Netflix.
Correct.
Netflix is going to be Christmas Day, so you're going to need Netflix. All right, that's number two. After that, let's say you don't have CBS, you're going to need to buy Paramount Plus. That's a potential buy.
Yep.
So you might need to get Paramount Plus so you can watch the CBS games if you don't have an antenna or cable. All right, so right then and there, we're looking at five, six different things.
And then the ESPN Megabot.
Wait, hold on. Right? Hold on. Sunday Ticket. You need to get Sunday Ticket. You can get it all together, compact. Maybe you could. Maybe a lot of that is avoidant. So, all right, I don't need Fox.
All right, let's throw that, Colin, let's throw that under the umbrella of cable package. Because most people, since YouTube TV is exclusively the Sunday Ticket, that's where we've hitched our wagon to.
The one thing about it, though, is if you get Sunday Ticket and you're in a geolocation where your 425 Fox game is going to be broadcast in your area, you can't watch it on Sunday Ticket. You got to keep that in mind. So you can need to get Sunday Ticket, but you also need CBS and or Fox to watch their biggest game. That is if you're a Dolphin fan, you can't just get a Sunday Ticket and watch the Dolphins all the time because sometimes it's going to be blocked out because of local TV restrictions.
Right.
So that's where you need the local
cable. So cable, that's why I said cable / Sunday Ticket. So because you got to be able to watch what's on the tube. And then obviously you're a Jag fan. We don't get in a market unless it's a national game. And I'm a Brown fan. That's how we got to do it. So Colin, we have so far ESPN Megabot, cable package / Sunday Ticket, NBC, Amazon, Netflix, Paramount. I mean, geez. And Paramount is...
It's strung way too far away.
Right, right.
And wait till... And wait. And I'll keep them another thing. NFL Network. You want to watch the international games, you need NFL Network.
Yeah.
So that's another one, too. And I'd put money today. Remember, we had Rich Eisen on about a month ago. He said that Rich Eisen is basically the voice of international NFL. He said that I would put money, and I agree with him, one day... that they're going to have an international game a week, maybe, I don't know, 15 times a year, and they're going to compile it together and sell it to somebody.
Yeah.
And whether that be a streaming service, whether that be somebody who's trying to get in on live sports, whether it be to whoever, that will be another one that they can bundle and sell it to somebody.
And my friends, therefore
sell it to us.
Colin, my no names please buddies that are texting in. I'm not bootlegging the game, guys. All right,
bootleg the game. It's not crazy. I don't know if we could say that.
I'm not bootlegging. Listen.
You can figure that out.
I like doing things the right way when it comes to this stuff and having everything at my disposal. I'm not getting my bank information ripped off because I needed to bootleg the game tonight.
No,
I'll go watch Daniel Craig. I'll go watch Daniel Craig Bond for the fifth time in about a month.
888-760-3776. Then we're getting to the program. Mike is officially boycotting Monday Night Football tonight because he doesn't want to deal with the YouTube TV dispute. How should Mike go? I think Mike should just go somewhere and watch the game. That's right. Bootleg. It's not bootlegging.
I'm not doing it.
Remember we had that one call. Is it John and Jensen Beach? It might be John and Jensen Beach who has the ways of watching the game that he didn't want to admit.
No, Johnny and Jensen Beach is the guy who has 15 monitors like
there was
me.
Another guy who tried to sell us his
John's
app.
My guy.
There was another guy who tried to sell us his app that had, I can't remember his name. It was when we were at Hurricane Grill and Wings last December. And he tried to sell us his app that he said it's $10 a month. You get anything you want. I'm like, that is definitely not legal.
No, that's a bootleg.
You don't watch the games tonight. You listen to it on the ESPN South Florida app and on ESPN 106.3.
Absolutely.
Mike can just visualize it, and you can just sit down there quiet in a room.
Listen, Colin.
Once you've seen one tush push, you've seen them all. Yeah. So, like, you're really not missing much by listening to the
Packers, you know, are going to score 14 points. You can see the highlight of the touchdown drive twice throughout the game, and then that's it.
Packers, they're going nowhere. That team is going nowhere.
They play well against good opponents.
Colin, I am extra upset about Green Bay for a number
We'll get into that. We got to get into the full slate of NFL football. A couple bad losses, most notably the Jacksonville Jaguars allowed 26
points. What's that behind you? If you're on the YouTube stream at ESPN West Palm, Kate Chumslin put a Jaguar with an L?
Kate Chumslin is a Houston Texan fan, and the Houston Texans were down 29-10 with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Jacksonville allows 26 straight points in the fourth quarter to lose the game, one of the worst losses I've ever seen from any of my teams ever. We'll get into that. We got to the Indiana-Penn State was in a lot of trouble over the weekend. Got a lot to do. Should be a lot of fun. The True Sun Red Zone, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat with you. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm and ESPN South Florida. Catch us on the app as well, ESPN South Florida app. Go download Hard Rock Bet because when you want to get in on the action tonight with a good Monday night football game, you got college football, very implicating matchups the rest of the week. The ACC had a weekend to behold, as basically just about everybody got eliminated over the weekend. You got NFL, you got all this action, college basketball, all this stuff is on the app. You're at the point of the college basketball season where the house doesn't know the teams well enough yet. So you can take advantage.
Colin is taking full advantage.
Georgetown against Maryland is the easiest bet I ever made on last Friday night. Nonetheless, Hard Rock Bet, it's your place to be because if you just sign up and bet $5 on any game, if you win that bet, $150 immediately in your account. Do that today on the app. Refer a friend. Get $50 additionally in bonus bets. I just showed you how to get $200 to play around with on the app. Check out the Discover page. See what other users are putting together. You can tap and tag along, and it's that easy on the app. That is Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21+. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions do apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. 1-833-PLAY-WISE. Couple things yesterday. Let's start here. The Dolphins, 30-13 over the Buffalo
Bills.
Can I
quickly say something before we go over every NFL game? Colin, I had the worst NFL gambling weekend, cover five, whatever, of my entire life.
All right, so what'd you take?
Dude, I didn't pick a game right. I mentioned to you that I had family in town. You know, Sunday we were at Uncle Mark's, we had Red Zone, we were swimming, we had pizza, it was the whole thing. And you know, Kyle, you probably run into this in your life. You're ESPN guy. You're supposed to know everything about everything. And the three games that I liked more than anything were the Colts at 6.5, the Panthers at 5, and the Buccaneers at 2. I lost every single bet. And then to Christian, double down on, dude, it's San Francisco and the Rams. Those two coaches are best friends. They always show up. I mean, geez, San Francisco, did you get out of your car as you were going to the game? I mean, geez, oh, man, I had every bet. And guess who we're on tonight in cover five? Guess who's going to get their ass kicked tonight?
That is
Philadelphia. We took Philadelphia plus bet. 2. Good bet. Brother, everything one. I've touched you has turned to stone.
Yeah, hold on.
I'm Medusa Eagles, over
if
here.
If Packers are good at home, and you got to imagine they're going to respond after a terrible loss last week. But the one thing about the Eagles, they're coming off their bye. So I think it's going
to
be a good game.
And
not a bad bet.
Not to mention, we are out of the No Names Please Survivor pool.
Yeah, this is where
and millions of dollars.
Mike, see, this is where you screwed up.
Because of Bryce Young.
Mike,
and
you know I'm Bryce
offense.
Young guy. You know I'm Bryce Young guy. You know I'm the Panther guy of this show. I am the Carolina Panther guy of the show. You not asking me about not only to take that in your Survivor and then taking cover five, I would have leaned you off of both. I knew that the Panthers were going to lose this game.
The Panthers have not won or covered a game as a favorite since 2021.
Oh, I know, Christian. I always sent it to our chat 15 times as all three of us looked at each other and said, yeah, we don't care. It's the Panthers. And you want to know the worst part? Do you want to know what team was available for us that we said we will save in future weeks? Was the Seattle Seahawks, who were up 35-0 before you could blink. Before you could blink. So not only, I lost everybody money in Uncle Mars yesterday, and then the Survivor pool that we worked our tail off to get to this point, we're out of the millions. I am fed up. And then to top it all off, I don't have the Monday night game because it's some pissing match between people that make too much money. Come on, man. Come on, man. This has been a miserable NFL weekend for me. Miserable. And then the Browns to a kickoff return and a punt return in the same game.
No offense from the Jets.
And then stone face Kevin Stefanski goes, yeah, we're going to go with Dylan Gabriel. Come on, man. It has been a night. And you want to know the one thing I could always fall back on? Thank God is Ohio State. And with that, I rest my case, boys. I had a miserable professional sports weekend.
I think you were happier seeing Indiana struggle than seeing Ohio State.
No, because they ended up winning. And everyone, and listen, love Gus Johnson. I love Gus Johnson. Hand him the Heisman. Gus, Julian Sain threw for 4 touchdowns and 300 yards against that defense last week.
Joe Fagnano. Remember the name. UConn's quarterback. 25 touchdowns.
I won't.
Zero. Zero interceptions. Mike? Zero interceptions.
I don't care. He plays at some, some godforsaken school that isn't in a conference.
Last
I don't know
thing on UConn football. They're 7-3. They have 3 overtime losses. That team is 3 plays away from being 10-0 and being that group of 5. Hello? Mike? 25 touchdowns.
You're out. Kid, you're out. I can't.
Are you a UConn football fan?
They're like the...
It's weird because you're a UConn basketball fan. Like I hate when people split that.
They're like the unfortunate. Yeah, they're having a good year.
Christian, I forgot.
They're so pathetic, and they're not in a. They've never been in a stable conference. It's been a mess.
I forgot they were Division I. I thought they were like Villanova, where they play in some, FCS or something.
It annoys me endlessly when I see Penn State football fans but Villanova basketball fans. No. Be a Penn State basketball fan. Like we're few. But we have some wins.
Penn State, by the way, who played at New Haven in an 800-person, basically high school gym this weekend, a road game against New Haven. Whatever. Nonetheless,
my sister went.
Joe Fagnano, remember the name, by the way. All right, so that's who get.
He's
Heisman
not
votes.
Getting invited
He'll
to
get,
New York.
He will be getting invited to New York.
No, he won't. No, he won't. Colin, no, he won't.
25 touchdowns, 0.
Sorry, I hijacked. Zero interceptions. I hijacked this segment. What were we talking about
Mike,
again,
Mike? It's
playing
honest.
Essentially the same competition as Ohio State. Essentially,
stop but Mike, you're right.
Mike's big on this Washington win. How did Washington?
I'm big on the Texas win, Illinois win, the Washington win.
You know who Washington lost to this weekend? Wisconsin, 13-10. One of the more godforsaken games I've ever laid my eyes on.
Hey, that was Fickle's. That was his signature game.
Mike, it was the first college football game in history to be won when the punter is the leading passer in the game.
Yeah, I know.
22 yards.
Oh, well.
Mike, to get back to your previous point, there is nothing that ruins a weekend like being eliminated from your survivor pool. It is the most devastating.
Oh, God, dude.
Did you get eliminated? Are you eliminated?
I got eliminated a couple weeks ago.
Atlanta.
I'm still alive.
He got eliminated against Atlanta.
I'm still alive.
My uncle, so I told you, the Jedi Council voters are me, my brother, and my cousin, and my uncle is like the house. You know what I mean? He pays for us to get into the Survivor, and we have a whole thing. He hinted at Seattle.
Wait a second. You don't put skin in the game?
No.
How much is it to get in this?
It's like $2,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's a lot of.
And my uncle Jay.
Yeah, that's true.
My uncle Jay. My uncle Jay, who has made a lot of bones in his life. Boys, I say no names, please, since I can't mention it. I can't mention.
Oh, it's already closed.
I can't mention it. But this was a tradition that we had when I was in Peoria to be a part of this thing.
All right, it's a nationally syndicated type of...
Exactly, right. That's the easiest way I could put it. And it was, my uncle would come see me when I was promoting said contest, and it was like a thing that we did for 3 years running. And this year we had a real good mojo going, and my uncle Jay hinted the Seahawks, this and that, and he texted us at the end. He goes, you guys played for future weeks, and you forgot the number one rule. You got to win the week. You bet on a team. You bet on a bad team to lose. You didn't bet on a good team to win, and that's why we lost. And he's 100% right.
But you're in a big contest, so losing week one is the same as losing week 16. Honestly, it's probably
how many people are remaining?
Painful.
Thousands of people?
1,800. 18,000. 18,000. Christian.
A lot of people. That's
Christian,
a lot of people.
Christian, 18,000 people signed up. 1,800 people were left this week. The Panthers were the number one team selected. Over 450 people selected the Panthers. We were one of them. But a lot of people did not have Seattle left like us. We got greedy. We got greedy, and I blame myself.
You gotta enter a mid-major of those lit contests. You can't enter into the Big Ten version of it. You got to go in a mid-major.
I blame myself.
I'm in like a 400 or 500 person one. I think it's like 500 people. I'm one of 8 remaining. So I got a big week now because I think like 8 or there was like 18 left, and then like 8 people got or 6 people got eliminated with Carolina. I did Denver on Thursday Night Football, sweat out that game in its entirety. But that was a game where I was confident pretty much throughout that Denver was going to win because that's what they
did. Kyle, it was my first show back, I think. No, second show back, I think. Regardless. Guys, it was the worst football game. I watched 3 quarters of that game.
It was terrible.
And then in the 4th quarter, I said, I'm done. I'm not doing it.
It was terrible.
I opened the show up. I believe I opened up the phone lines. I said, call in if you watch that whole game because I don't believe you. I don't believe that you watched that whole game.
Every snap. Just because I
had to survive.
That's why it was a smart take. I knew it was going to be a bad game. You got to put some skin in the game.
People were calling in about fantasy and whatever. I said, that's an issue. If you're hanging around that game for fantasy implications on a Thursday before you have a full lineup, that's an issue.
Yeah. So now I'm looking ahead. I'm not going to make my decision yet. The thing is, I always do it the same way. I don't consult anybody. I just make my own pick. But this is the time of the year where you're starting to run out of games, run out of pieces. But I think I've got like a couple grand in the line. I think it's like 4 or 5
Good.
Grand. So I'm 1 of 8.
Yeah.
And if I could survive that, that'd be great.
Yeah.
What would you sell your spot for? Like, do you have a lot of good teams left? Do you have a valuable 1/8 of the pot right now?
The Packers, how about this? If Jackson Dart does not play, I will be taking the Packers next week. Okay. I'm on the road to New York. I know they're bad on the road. I know it's a short week. But if they have Russell Wilson starting that game, I'm probably going to go Green Bay.
So let's say the pot that you're fighting for, I don't know what it is. But
I think it's about four grand.
For $4,000 divided by 8. Yours is, if everything was equal, $500. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if someone came up to you and said, here is $500, can I have your entry? Would you take it?
No. No. Because players play.
Yeah, I'm with Colin on that. I'm with Colin on that.
Players play.
Boys, I should
have. If my spot could have been bought, no way.
I should have known that my NFL Sunday and our cover 5 picks were going to be in trouble when Indianapolis won by 6, and the only reason we didn't cover the spread was because of the extra point.
I would have been all over that game with you because I agree. I thought Indianapolis was going to have a
big
Tampa,
comeback. But how about Tampa Bay 2.5 at home? That was shocking to me that the Patriots went in there and did all that.
The Patriots were probably the big winner of the weekend.
They really were.
In terms of just pretty much dominant. Them in Seattle. Them in Seattle were really, really good. Now the Patriots, you got to give them credit. You know, they played nobody for a month straight. You know, Browns, they got the Jets this week. They haven't played anybody. Titans. But now they have 2 very good wins on the docket, both in the road.
And they're in first.
And that's Buffalo, Tampa Bay.
And they're in control of that division with Buffalo going down to the Dolphins,
Who's totally overrated, by the way. Buffalo's soft.
Which is crazy. I had conversations last week, Kyle. And then we've had this too, but like if McDermott doesn't make it to the Super Bowl this year.
That's an amicable split.
It really is.
Right?
I agree. And I said there will be a mutual agreement to part ways. How can't there be? That's year what, 5, 6?
I think it's 6. I could be wrong. Yeah.
Especially if Boogeyman's not there.
18, I think he got there.
Kansas City on a bye this week. Boogeyman, 5-4, Kansas City, not in the playoffs right now. If you can't get out of it, imagine if they don't win their division as well. Wow. It's a little shocking. The inconsistencies of Buffalo in the division. Like two out of the 3 of their losses are divisional opponents.
Right.
And Patriots and Dolphins. And keep in mind, Kyle, a game that we survived in the Survivor, probably had no business. The Dolphins played the Bills well at home on Thursday Night Football. The Jets played the Bills well at home. That's a real issue for them in that division right now.
Yeah, they haven't played great at all. They have not been consistent at all. They have that terrible loss against Atlanta on Sunday Night Football. I mean, the Bills have not lived up to any expectation throughout the year. They just haven't played well. And they've played soft. And, you know, they got knocked around yesterday by the Miami Dolphins of all teams. Really, probably the worst loss of the day was them in Jacksonville. As bad as it gets. Nonetheless, we'll get into a little 5 and 5 as we enter into the 5 p.m. hour of Russo and Rizzo, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. That's all to come. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.